Lowe'sPizza.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So did the cable guy take Chris's cable or tear it? He's had cable problems with his microphone. It's just a USB cable, folks. With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we got Goggs and Dean and Randall and Jeff. We're talking about disclosure, what the government knows, when do they know it. And when we get to our next guest here, Jeff, I'll ask you, what about the possibility of gradual disclosure, that we're now seeing more and more evidence that we have Earth-like planets around the galaxy in humongous quantities, Earth-like planets, breeding life, some more advanced. Maybe they're coming here. Is that a process of gradual disclosure? What do you think?
I don't believe so. I think that the finding of planets was a natural part of the field of astronomy, and I think that it was a long time coming, but I don't think... I have a really hard time subscribing to any kind of conspiracy-type process that the revelation of planets being discovered around distant solar systems is evidence of aliens coming here. I suppose another logical step would be to really take a look at those planets to see if there's any chemical signatures, methane, and things of that nature within the atmosphere to see if maybe there is life on those planets. But I don't think that NASA or the United States government or any government on this planet is slowly feeding this process out to the general public to, you know, spring it on us that, oh yeah, here's a planet 50 light years away that's Earth-like, and oh, by the way, their inhabitants have been visiting us for the last 250,000 years or whatever.
Even if they don't know where they're coming from, the possibility here is instead of a sudden revelation, which could cause all sorts of side effects as we might imagine, if you do it gradually where you wake up one day and say, oh, okay, that's what's happening, maybe people will accept it more.
I mean, that logically sounds feasible, but I just don't subscribe to that idea that it's actually happening. I think that it's a completely separate process. I think you have the astronomers who are just following their own leads, and then you have the UFO field, and people are just watching the astronomers going, okay, maybe that's where they're from, and things of that nature.
Okay, Randall, what do you think?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that there has been some slow disclosure, begrudgingly, if not for the evidence that we've seen from the Freedom of Information requests that have been made over the years. And just from the evidence of researchers who've gone into the National Archives and pulled out the declassified, formerly top-secret documents that are there, we know that they knew a lot more than we knew back then, and they still know a lot more than we know now. But this brings up a really good question, actually, from one of our forum people, Bernd Slate, and what he wanted us to talk about or comment on is to identify the historical and contemporary figures that have gotten us closer to understanding the facets of this mechanism. Who are the best authors? Who are the people who've done the real solid research to get us closer to understanding the truth about this? I would mention authors like Timothy Good. Jerome Clark has done some excellent historical research in that field. And there's even some people from MUFON who've recently released a new title all about UFOs and government. It's a historical documentary on it. So it's taking place slowly. Will it happen all at once? I don't think so, unless we actually see some sort of action on the part of the UFOs themselves.
Dean, what's your take?
I don't see any disclosure happening until the proverbial saucer landing on the White House lawn type scenario. I think it's very obvious that we do have visitations. I'm not sure where they come from, but I don't think it's going to happen until something lands on the ground and everybody sees it.
And that may never happen in a way that we'd accept it. Goggs, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't see it happening officially, but there
as I said before, there may be something like a WikiLeaks leak of an undeniably, you know, true document or something. It may happen by accident. I suppose that's what I'm saying.
I think the other theory has it here that the secret, if it exists at all, was sent off to private industries, so it's not so easy to find. So even if something comes up in a government document or freedom of information, whatever, we wouldn't have ready information as to where it's being held. But private industry, we don't know what they're doing in their own laboratories because they have proprietary programs already because supposedly you don't want your competitor to know what you're doing. You know, Apple Incorporated could be the repository of the secret of UFOs because they have a secrecy program, you know, that's second to none. Now, that's kind of wacky, isn't it?
If I can chime in, I think that, and this is going on the conspiracy side of things too, but if the disinformation project is real, then it's going to be effective. And if we do have a leak of a genuine government document or the WikiLeaks or something like that, people are just going to point to that and say, well, it was some kook or it's not real or it's fake. And the authenticity of whatever gets leaked, whatever piece of information that could potentially lead to genuine disclosure, that authenticity is going to face so much rigor. I would venture to say that the powers that be would be able to somehow discredit that piece of information pretty effectively and silence it right back down again. I mean, I hate to sound like the conspiracy theorist here who says that regardless of what we find, it's going to be stifled by, you know, Big Brother and all, but I think that assuming that the government has some sort of very incriminating piece of evidence about UFOs and alien visitation, and assuming that it does slip out, I think they can cover it up pretty well just through the historical perspective of the ufological field and the quote-unquote kooks that study those aliens from Mars and little green men. So you have the concept that we can be basically ridiculed into silence, even if we do find or even if something is accidentally revealed into the general public and mainstream media.
But with 24/7 news cycle, doesn't that make it a lot harder to control the message?
I don't think so, because within an hour they could come back out and say, oh, well, the whole thing was a big joke anyway.
Yeah, but we don't believe governments anymore. Was it the U.S. Congress has an approval rating of 10%? We barely believe anybody anymore. We're jaded. It's not like the 1950s where the president says something. They say, oh, okay, that's the truth. Now, oh, here's 27,000 reasons why not. Goggs, what's your take on it?
On what exactly? I thought I'd answered this one.
Okay, very good. We're talking here, I guess, about the possibility of gradual disclosure, if there is such a thing. Governments with guilty knowledge, governments preventing people from knowing the truth, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I just wonder if they get a push from somewhere else, if there are such a thing as ET craft. Hello, am I still online?
You're coming through loud and clear. Go ahead.
Oh, it's all gone silent here. If there is such a thing as ET craft or for wherever they're from visiting us here, as I think Dean maybe said, or Randall, the old White House lawn thing, if there is any collusion behind the scenes, maybe there's already in place an agreement that after, you know, 150 years of exposure to UFOs flying about in the sky in modern age, some announcement will be made. I find it hard to believe that the intention would be just to keep it quiet forever, you know, just till the end of time. But certainly was it from the RAND Corporation or the CIA who sponsored the study that would look at the impact of, you know, finding extraterrestrial artifacts and things like that, what the effect that would have on the population? I don't know if those studies actually mentioned if after a certain amount of time to exposure to these things that you could go ahead and release such information. So I find it hard to believe it'll go on forever, but I certainly don't think any politician is going to make the choice to do it. That's if they even know anything.
There's an interesting possibility for that, too, we'll get to. With Gene and Chris, we're doing the Listener Roundtable. You're in
the Paracast.
Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa for a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities. Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Feeling like there are too many pressures and demands on you? Losing sleep, worrying about tests and schoolwork, eating on the run because your schedule is just too busy? You may be under too much stress, and it may be affecting your mind. Get your mental edge back with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Nootropic Mind Power is not a drug, but a natural supplement. Its 12 powerful ingredients are natural and non-GMO, plus it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power cognitive supplement from MindRegard.com. Mind Regard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday. Today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast with Coggs and Dean and Randall and Jeff. Our listener roundtable, all these people very knowledgeable about what's going on. Now, the thing I wonder here is how you can keep a secret through generations, changes in leadership in the military, especially in the U.S. I think in the U.K., Goggs, correct me if I'm wrong, you would have more of a tradition there where from father to son, different generations of the military and government offices would be able to keep a consistent sort of posture. But in the U.S., I don't know. But I also have this picture here where the president takes over, new president sworn in, and that day the National Security Agency or some other agency comes into him and says, Mr. President, we have to tell you something. And this is something that is even above your pay grade, sir. And if you say anything, there will be a new president taking oath of office by tomorrow. Anyone have a reaction to that? Dean?
I think it's going to be an individual that blows the whole UFO thing wide open. Like myself, if I would have been another couple hundred yards closer to what I saw, I think it would have been a very interesting photograph. So I don't think we necessarily need the government in any country to disclose anything. With everybody having cell phones and cameras readily available, I think it's inevitable there will be a really good, clear shot. I don't know why it hasn't happened.
That's the question I was going to ask, Dean, but you mentioned your own sighting. Tell our listeners about it.
Well, it was actually about 7 years ago this month, as I recall, and it was right near my home. I think I posted maps and such of my sighting on the forum somewhere. I don't know what it was that I saw. It was at arm's length, maybe the width of a nickel, 50-cent piece. It was hovering over a field off to my right for quite some time. As we got closer to it, it started moving slightly to the west. At that point, I pulled over. It was freezing cold. It was 3 below zero and blowing snow sideways. And the thing just sat there nearly motionless. I got out of the car, and it started moving away from me until it went over a tree line. And I got back in the car, and my girlfriend and I are looking at each other like, what the heck is that? And I just started to leave, pull off onto the road again, and we saw it coming back towards us, and then it veered to the south, and I basically chased it until I couldn't keep up with it anymore. It was quite a chase on black ice, very slippery. I think I was reaching speeds up to 80 miles an hour trying to keep up with it.
And you didn't think for a moment, I'm going to swerve off the road, I'm not going to survive this?
No, it was so exciting to see this thing. It was my first sighting, and it started getting away from me, and that's when I pulled over again. My girlfriend was screaming at me to slow down, and so I actually pulled right over and jumped out again to try and get a photograph of it. And that's when a small jet, came right over the top, and I watched it chase this this UFO out of sight. At which point I called the airport because a local medevac helicopter comes over our place quite often, and I thought, well, it's dangerous to have that thing hovering so low to the ground. I called the airport. They said there was nothing in the area, no aircraft whatsoever, and I said, that's not true. A jet just chased this thing out of sight. And they said, no, there's no aircraft in that area, and they connected me with the FAA, and they said the same thing, and nothing more was done. I went home, and I'm still amazed at what I saw.
Any of our other guests have a sighting they want to talk about? Chime in.
I have one back in 1975, if anyone's interested.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, this one was when I was living out in Invermere, British Columbia, and I was spending the night over at my girlfriend's place while her parents were gone. They had a ranch up on the west side of the lake. And we were sitting there looking out the window when this glowing orb came up from behind the mountains across the lake and went down into the valley in three big arcs. Well, that night, I watched that thing. Actually, it came up again later on out of the forest and did this big infinity symbol in the air. And the three of us saw that the second time, too. And then I stayed awake all night. It came up again and did that one more time, stopped instantly, went back down into the forest, and then later on came up, did this symbol again, and in the morning, just as it was getting light outside, I went outside on the deck, and I had straight line of sight view of this thing across the valley. It got really bright, and instead of doing this symbol in the sky that it did, it instantly took off in a streak of light north up the valley, as far as I could see, in the time it takes you to snap your fingers. And there is nothing natural or man-made that I can think of that can explain that.
Okay, Goggs, did you have a sighting to report?
No, I'm like yourself, Gene. I have definitely never seen anything in the sky that I can't identify. But that, I believe it was Arthur C. Clarke who had said that if you haven't seen a UFO, it's either because you're not very observant or you live somewhere where it's cloudy. I live somewhere where it's cloudy.
Well, that's your excuse. Actually, I have to amend that. I didn't realize this before, but I was looking at the text of a magazine article I wrote in 1971. That ages me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm actually 400 years old. I've got that picture in the closet that's getting older. Anyway, I looked there. I did have a sort of UFO sighting, you know, something up in the sky, made a rapid-fire maneuver and disappeared. It wasn't very much. It lasted a few seconds. And I forgot all about it after writing this article. Literally speaking, I wrote this article, as I said, in 1971, published in the magazine, and then left my mind. There you go. Jeff, any sightings?
I'm kind of like Eugene. I saw something 4th of July 2 years ago that was amber in color, and I saw it through some trees. But it was just a dot of light, and it moved quickly. And the UFO people around where I live, they report a lot of amber-colored lights and orbs and things of that nature in the sky. So maybe yes, maybe no. It could have been a low-lying helicopter, anything like that. I remain skeptical myself, but the only paranormal experience I had wasn't UFO-related. I think it was more of a haunting-type relation, which is what I more have studied in the last 5 years than UFOs, although I'm far more interested in UFOs these days, but nothing really compelling as far as UFOs go.
I'm going to ask you about the haunting instance in a moment. That's Jeff joining Randall and Dean and Gox with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
HempUSA.org has a newly designed website and a new and improved detoxification product. Order our new Microplant Powder Gold loaded with vitamins, minerals, iodine, and probiotics, and we'll send you our travel-size Microplant Powder absolutely free. Microplant Powder only at HempUSA.org. Call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you only at HempUSA.org. Hurry, this offer ends January 31st.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Is 2013 your year to achieve more? More vitality? More health? More well-being? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny. For 25 years, I spent my life's work teaching others how to achieve more. But in 2010, I got a lesson of my own about RNA drops. I learned that there are millions of gene switches latent in every single cell of my body that are waiting for an activator. I learned by taking RNA drops, I could begin to activate that power in my cells and achieve the more that I desire. I'd like to share what I discovered with you and send you a free 30-day supply of RNA drops valued at $50 for just the cost of shipping and handling. Go to rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call me toll-free at 888-577-3703. That's 888-577-3703. rnafreesample.com. Discover the more that's waiting for you.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Our listener roundtable continues into the second half of the show with Jeff, Randall, Dean, and Goggs. Jeff, you're very much involved with hauntings. You have a website up there that covers some of that stuff. Tell us about it.
About 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago or so, me and my wife got interested in the whole ghost hunting, paranormal research type of thing. We were a product of the Ghost Hunters television show, the Paranormal State television show. And that's where we got interested in looking into paranormal research. And so we did the paint by the numbers process of joining a ghost hunting group, breaking off from that group and forming a more serious ghost hunting group, and then that group fell apart. And so we still kind of do the ghost hunting once in a while, but my wife is, she's more of the leader of the group. I've stepped down and stepped away from that. I'm more into the UFOs and things of that nature. But we do still participate in a couple of investigations and a couple of what I call amusement park ghost hunts, where you go someplace and you have to pay some money to go in there and supposedly have some encounters. My wife's more on the believer side. She believes herself to be sensitive to spirits and spirit energy and all that good stuff. I'm far more on the skeptical side, especially recently nowadays. We balance each other out pretty well. When we have experiences or don't have experiences, we kind of keep each other in check. And she'll be quick to tell you that I'm the skeptical jerk that always rains on her parade whenever she thinks she sees something really good.
I bet there are some interesting family discussions.
Some. Yeah, we have some discussions. When she makes me listen to sound bites 3 or 4 times, and I have to look at her and say, you know what, if you want to hear a crying ghost baby in the background, you can hear that. I don't hear it. So
there you go. Speaking of ghosts, let's talk to the rest of the crew here. Randall, of course, your name is Ufology. So do you have an interest in hauntings and such?
Well, I'm interested in anything that can be connected in some way to the UFO phenomenon. And I've had a pretty incredible, what you call a ghost experience, I guess, back in my teens. Around the same time, actually, that I had that UFO sighting I was talking about earlier. And it's quite long and convoluted, but it left me with absolutely no doubt that the phenomena exists. Exactly what it is what I question. I think there's a tendency for people to bring these experiences into their own paradigms, particularly religious ones involving life after death and so on. And I'm not convinced that that's necessarily what they are. I think that ghost experiences, virtually almost every paranormal phenomena that you can think of, apart from mental telepathy and such, can be explained by some kind of higher technology that could be connected with this UFO phenomena.
Now, how so? That's a very interesting point to raise. How would UFO technology have anything to do with seeing a ghost?
Well, when you read about the reports of UFOs, you read about technology that seems to defy gravity. You read reports about apparitions and that seem to be able to do things that defy gravity, moving furniture, levitating things. You tend to see reports about UFOs disappearing as if they've got some kind of cloaking shield or something along those lines, which implies that perhaps if there are beings from these machines, that they could also have some sort of cloaking technology that they've incorporated into their suits that could lead to this type of invisibility and sometimes sparkling apparitions or other things. And virtually, they could change their appearance into anything that you want. And if they were doing some sort of a clandestine operation, observing people over time and studying them, they would know things about the environment, what was there, and would be able to mimic all of the things that you see in these hauntings.
What about the recurring events where, you know, every Saturday night they see the spirit of the resident of the house who appears, or maybe the grandfather comes back? You're saying that the UFO nuts will come back every Saturday like clockwork and emulate this effect?
It may not be that they need to be physically present. It could be some sort of automated monitoring project that is just outside of our ability to detect, the way that we take and put up shelters and watch wildlife in some way, shape, or form, something along those lines. But
a recording.
It could be monitoring, recording, an automated system whereby they're tracking our movements, studying our psychology, seeing how we react to these various things that they put up in front of us, and typically we respond with these supernatural type of explanations and jump to these conclusions that they're some sort of related to some sort of life after death and create all of this mythos around it, but we don't know that. We don't know what it is. It makes more sense to me that if there is technology available to explain it, then we should be invoking that. And really, our own technology now is approaching that level where we're developing things that can bend light and transmit voices into people's heads, all kinds of stuff. All this stuff can be explained nearly with our own technology, so you can imagine something, you know, 1,000 years ahead of us that's coming here.
Goggs, what's your interpretation? You live in a part of the world where there are lots of hauntings.
Yes, actually, this part of northeast Scotland where I am has the highest concentration, say, of castles of anywhere in the world, and many of them have got ghosts. Myself, the only paranormal, you know, experience I've ever had is literally within 150 feet of my childhood home. Myself and a friend, we were about 13 or so, we saw what we thought was an old woman in a place, in a little kind of lane, in a place where she shouldn't have been at that time of night, because we knew everyone, you know, around in the area. And we found her being there so strange that we immediately made to go and lead her out of where she was, because we were convinced she must have been lost. And she never left our sight until we rounded this wall, and this was a dead end, and she was gone. And up until that point, we thought it was a real person, but two of us saw it, and there was nowhere for this person to go. There was no time or chance to escape, or there's no trapdoors, ladders, anything. So it must have been that we both saw a full body apparition. I don't have any other experience outside of that. And going to where Randall was speaking about the UFO technology side of things, I can go for that. I'm not sure how that would explain how people, humans have reported ghosts, you know, since time immemorial. For that to be the case, I suppose we'd have to be saying that this technology was up and running all the way through history. I can't see any purpose for that unless it was just to play with us.
We could be the amusement park. Dean, what's your take?
Well, I'm a little skeptical about ghosts, but I have to say I have seen something back in the 70s. Actually, after I saw it, my whole family ended up seeing this individual. It appeared to be a young man in his maybe 20s standing at the other end of our basement looking straight at all of us who had seen it at different times. It still raises the hair on the back of my neck when I think back to looking at this entity, whatever it was. It was one of those deals where I looked up and went to take a double and got a good look at it and kind of rubbed my eyes and looked again, and it's gone. My whole family ridiculed me for quite a while after that, until they all in turn had seen this at some point. Sightings only lasted maybe a few months, and nobody's ever seen it again. My father still lives in the home. He does not see anything anymore. I think in many cases when people go looking for ghosts, they'll probably find one just because they're looking for one. And it may or may not be an actual entity. It could be a shadows, lights, who knows.
Wishful thinking, it sounds like. And I see people are champing at the bit to make some more comments. We have Randall, Jeff, Dean, and Goggs, four of our listeners, joining our listeners roundtable. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy. It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fate TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy targets, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com, sign up as a distributor, and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
The trickster is asserting himself. Yes, he is. Chris O'Brien with Gene. Talking to Jeff and Randall Dean and Goggs. And it's all about our listener roundtable. I want to throw another thing into this discussion, or fly in the ointment, as you would prefer. When we were talking earlier about maybe the UFO knots are generating the ghost encounters for reasons best known to themselves, what about abductions? Let's put you in the hot seat, Randall.
Oh, abductions. Well, I think it's important to be really skeptical about abductions. Not that it's not important to be any less skeptical about other things, but what we're hearing from abductees are things that are just not verifiable in any way, shape, or form compared to the UFO phenomenon itself, the hard nuts and bolts, flying saucer-type things that led to the rise of the field of ufology in the first place. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but I just haven't seen enough evidence to say that for sure it's actually connected with the UFOs that have been tracked on radar and so on. It's certainly part of the UFO field. It's part of ufology studies in general, but that's just my take on it. Something strange is going on, but what exactly it is, it could be related to hauntings and all of the rest of it, but I am not entirely sure what to make of that.
Jeff, what's your take on abductions?
I have to kind of agree with Randall about we have to be careful and skeptical about the types of abduction stories that we get. To me, it's kind of how the story comes from, how the witness conveys the story. If the witness is claiming that, you know, they've been a lifelong abductee, contactee, what have you, then to me that raises the skeptical level considerably higher. But when you're talking about somebody like Travis Walton's instance, where, you know, it was kind of a one-time deal, and Walton will even tell you that he thinks that it was kind of a rescue operation, that he was taken aboard this craft and what have you, and nursed back to health and then dropped off someplace near his residence. That, to me, holds a lot more credibility that if we are talking about in the UFO field nuts and bolts craft, and, you know, these beings somehow have been watching us and came across Travis and caused harm to him inadvertently, and then took him up and healed him back, and then dropped him back to Earth. That holds a lot more credibility than I've been chosen to communicate a message to all of mankind, and, you know, it's of peace and love and tranquility and all this other good stuff. So I think that, to me, the filters are set really high when it comes to the abduction experience and abduction phenomenon, and I tend to be extremely skeptical about the whole thing.
Okay, so we have the emissary who says they talk to ET, they have this experience, they have a message to present. Not unlike religious revelations going back through the centuries. So if it's not ET causing it, is it something in their mind? Are they interacting with some kind of outside power, Jeff?
Again, I remain skeptical on that. I think it's people, honestly, truthfully, just calling attention to themselves. They want to put themselves in a place higher and in more import than who perhaps they really are. You know, why, if you're being communicated to from a higher power, a higher entity for this all-important message for mankind and humanity, why would they pick, you know, a lonely, bored housewife from Wisconsin?
You know, yeah, who lives in the suburbs. You notice how it always is, it's a suburban thing. There's not very many abduction reports that are credible, I think, from urban areas. Most of these are rural encounters, and I think a majority of them would be, this is a joke.
Okay, divorce, so you're saying then that because I live in a fairly large city, I will never be abducted. I feel better. Dean, mm-hmm. What's your take about abductions?
I agree with Jeff. I don't know. I don't get it. It's exactly what Jeff said. I think it's bored housewives and things like that trying to just elevate their own living standard or life's experiences to something more than it is.
So if you're a best-selling author like Whitley Strieber, did you just make it all up to sell some books?
I honestly don't know. I'm open-minded to it, though. If we can come up with some proof, then so be it. I haven't seen anything real credible yet.
Well, he does have my first UFO sighting that he's never acknowledged, although I did mentioned this to him years ago. It was with a group of five other college students just roughhousing at night on the playground, or the football field rather, at New Paltz University, and we had a multiple object sighting on a weekend that he claims in communion that he had quite an amazing experience. I think it was the night the sounds went wrapping around his house. This would have been the third Friday of September 1970. Let's see. I'd have to check my own notes, but in the late 70s, 78 or 79.
Goggs, what's your take on abductions?
Well, if ET does exist and he's visiting here, I have no problem to believe that some abductions may take place. But the sheer numbers reported by a lot of American citizens are I just find that just, you know, incredible. No chance. And also there's the side of it from sleep paralysis. I've experienced sleep paralysis quite a few times myself, and on one of these occasions I could almost swear I was taken to somewhere with a lot of other people, and out of the corner of my eye I was seeing some kind of beings. Now, I don't think for a minute that I was abducted, but I can really see how someone could be convinced that they had been, because when you have sleep paralysis and you have these kind of out-of-body experiences, they're just as real as real life at the time. So whether it's in the head, so I think there may be a little bit of it's in the head, sleep paralysis. There could be a little bit of, people seeking attention. But I think there could be a core number of cases where, you know, if we were visiting another planet, we would probably be abducting the locals. There's a good episode of Star Trek where they're in the Next Generation, where they're trying to remain hidden from a culture they're studying, and they're behind some sort of magic screen, sort of S4 type thing up in a rock formation, and then their power fails, and then the locals see that they are there, and then they have to try and repair this. But we would do something like that if we were visiting another planet. So I have no problem thinking that if it is the case that there is ET or some other intelligent beings here, that, you know, they may do it on occasion, but just not the numbers that we're hearing reported. And it seems to be that there seems less of it being reported now. Maybe someone else can correct me there, but there seems to be I think that it reached a peak maybe in the 80s, 90s, around the X-Files time, and now it's dying off again.
Just to add something here quickly, I mean, I've interviewed several thousand people concerning hundreds and hundreds, if not well over 1,000 events, and you know, over a 10-12 year period. And I find it very interesting. I only had two claims of abductions, talking to all those hundreds and hundreds of people over that, you know, over a decade. So I find it interesting that if abductions were taking place in an area that has so many sightings, you would think that there would be more reports. There were a few visitation type reports, CE3s, that sort of thing. But the lack of reports and claims of this type, to me, is very telling.
The thing I worry about all this is the researcher who specializes in abductions, and the abductions seem to take on the character of what they're investigating. So they're looking for alien hybrids. They will get cases involving so-called alien hybrids. But when you're talking about millions of people being abducted, I have problems with that.
I think, too, I'd like to point out that when Gordon said about, was it, he was talking about sleep paralysis and hypnagogic hallucinations and things of this nature, we see this a lot in the ghost hunting type of field, too. Inevitably, I've done a lot of investigations where somebody said, you know, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw the shadow hovering over me and I started screaming. And anytime I hear, I woke up and I saw, in my mind, that, you know, hits a red flag right there. I'm thinking, well, okay, you were probably in a dream state still. And I usually ask them, well, how did it end? Where did the entity go? You know, did it walk out of the room? Did it fade into the wall? And they said, well, you know, I don't know. It just wasn't there anymore. And I'm usually attributing that to, yeah, you know, you woke up enough that your brain started to take in your environment and the dream state was gone at that point in time. But so I'm always really leery about hearing about abductions that happen in the middle of the night and so on and so forth when people were sleeping, just like I am when I hear ghost stories and ghost encounters from people in the middle of the night when they were sleeping.
We're not in the middle of the night, but we're going to do a break in a moment. We have Jeff and Randall, Dean and Goggs. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.